Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road here in Santa Fe and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. So this is day two. For me, it's day one of the KSFR Fun Drive, and it's a wonderful time of year. It's fall, it's beautiful, and it's the time where we ask you to go to your telephone and make a pledge to KSFR. Why is that? Well, it's because KSFR is commercial-free public radio, and it has shows like the BBC, Democracy Now!, and the Radio Cafe. And those are what we call listener-supported shows. The whole station is listener-supported public radio. So how do listeners support public radio? It's by going to their telephones and calling the following number, 505-428-1393. 505-428-1393. And if you're calling from out of area, you're listening from out of state, or you're listening from the 575 area code, or even from Albuquerque, you can call our toll-free number, 866-907-5737. That's 866-907-KSFR. What we'd like to do this hour is make the phone ring, the phones ring so off the hook. We have multiple phones. We've got several phones in a wonderful room staffed by friendly and very kind and wonderful volunteers. They're sitting there waiting for your call. We make the phones ring off the hook. We have them filling out pledge forms quickly. You, the listener, get the satisfaction of supporting public radio and of getting a gift. Now, we're going to talk about that in a moment, but I would like to introduce right now Susan Purdy and Stacy Pearl. Hey.
Good morning.
They have the same initials. Susan Purdy is the author of Pie in the Sky, Successful Baking at High Altitude, and this book can be yours for a pledge to KSFR that the pledge drive volunteers will tell you about if you call those numbers that I said, 505-428-1393. 428-1393 or 866-907-5737, 866-907-KSFR. And Stacy Pearl is executive chef for Walter Burke Catering, and she is the host of Mouth of Wonder, which is our cooking show on KSFR that airs on Saturday mornings from 10:30 to 11, and they are both experts in high altitude baking.
Well, I'm only an expert because I worked with Susan.
Well,
and I am an expert in Santa Fe because I worked with
him. Well, that's what it takes, is the kind of collaboration that we're asking our listeners for as well. Collaboration like the two of you do in actually making something happen. Collaboration right now between us and our listeners is what we need. So please go to your telephone right now. You know, you can also pledge online. But there's something nice about going to your phone because it makes us know that you're supporting the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, which I work pretty hard to get on the air, and that you listen to, you, the listeners, you're called the listeners because you listen to KSFR and you listen to this show. We really need your support, so please call 428-1393. Now, Pie in the Sky, I love it. It's such a great title for a cookbook. And you were here actually 4 years ago. It was 2005 when this book first came out. And so much has happened since then, which we'll also talk about. But why is baking at high altitude different from, let's say, stew making at high altitudes, which pretty much you put in the meat, you put in the vegetables, and you got a stew, whatever the altitude. But baking doesn't work that way.
Baking is different. You're right. You're absolutely right. The biggest thing, there are actually three things that happen when you go above about 3,000 feet from sea level. One of the first is that the higher you go, the cooler the temperature water boils. And that's the thing that affects cooking the most. In Santa Fe, water boils at 198. It does not boil at 212. So you cook your stew longer. You cook pasta or anything else, rice, just longer. Your coffee, you'll notice, will cool off more quickly because there's more evaporation when water boils at a cooler temperature. But baking has to rise or has to do some chemical change in a pan of gooey, goppy, thick, pasty batter. And
chemical
in order to get
change.
That hot enough, that's the problem.
Now, chemical change, let's talk about that for a second, because we have a good number of scientists and scientifically interested people who are listening.
Right.
What are the chemical, what are some of the chemical changes that happen in baking?
Well, let me tell you what, first thing is that you have this water boiling at a cooler temperature. The second thing is the less air pressure pushing down on things, the more the gases expand. The scientists are certainly well aware of that, and at this altitude, they want to expand very exuberantly, which is wonderful for a baker because you think intuitively, well, wow, my things are just going to get more high, more risen. But unless you actually strengthen the protein of that batter, which is rising, it will collapse when it cools. So that is the first thing. And then again, when you have this lower water temperature, the lower boiling point, as these bubbles break on the surface of your liquid, the liquid evaporates, leaving a higher concentration of the other elements behind. So if you have a cake with flour and sugar and fat, as well as your liquid, when the liquid disappears, you have more flour and sugar and fat. Fat and sugar weaken the gluten in your flour, in your protein of the flour, and that makes the flour softer, so that means that's why it collapses. So there is a real chemical change. So you have to strengthen that chemistry in order to have your proteins hold when they rise.
And this is why many people's cakes, they look great in the oven, and they open it the last time, and they're a big bowl.
Yeah, they look like the
someone calls
it sad
cakes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
The dog bowl effect. Or yes. Last night at your house, someone said, "Oh, my mom always makes sad cakes." I said, "Why are they sad?" She said, "They always have a sad top, and we always fill it with frosting, which is wonderful." Which is one way to do it.
Well, there's some funny moments in your book where you talk about having made brownies or something that didn't work at all, and so you crumpled them and put some kind of liqueur and sugary thing over them and
called it a trifle. Eat it with a spoon and don't apologize.
Exactly. But if you want to actually make cakes work, then you've got to make some changes. Yeah. Now, at what altitude do you start noticing that there's a difference?
Well, I actually discovered that with this book. People talked about a variety of altitudes. I actually found about 2,800, just under 3,000 feet, which means it happens in the east as well as in the west. It happens in New York State. I did my first testing in North Carolina, in the Blue Ridge Mountains. North Carolina, Virginia, anything above 2,800 feet, you will notice a change. And then it goes, the sky's the limit. So you can take this book from
Remember when you went
beach.
To Breckenridge and tried to bake up there?
Oh, well, Breckenridge is at 10,000 feet. I spent a lot of time crying.
That was a nightmare.
Crying and then
nothing worked at 10,000 feet.
Well, we won't even talk about the Himalayas or the high Andes.
Well, 14, you know, but the thing is, it's interesting, Mary Charlotte. If you look at the very highest places, they don't make layer cakes. They don't make what we think of
right.
as raised products. They all have flatbreads. They figured that out thousands of years ago. That's why you have tortillas here.
Ah.
They don't even try. That's why, you know, flatbreads of all kinds all over the world are flat.
So if you trace the history of flatbreads, you're going to find mountains.
Altitude. Yep. Absolutely altitude.
We've you heard it here first.
You heard it here first. It's true. It's funny.
So 428-1393 is the number for the KSFR Pledge Drive. If you would like to make a pledge to KSFR and score a copy of this fantastic book, Pie in the Sky by Susan Purdy, and worked on also by Stacy Pearl, both of whom are sitting with us here right now. So one of the things that has happened since you wrote this book is that a lot of people have GPS. So they know exactly what altitude they're at, which is surprisingly, I mean, a lot of people before that really didn't know.
No, and I used to carry, and I still do carry, a little altimeter on the dashboard of my car, so I knew where I was when I was writing the book, which was not easy because I was all over the place.
Yeah.
Keeping track of, but it's true, they now know, and so anything above 3,000 feet, you can just consider, you might as well pay attention. And if it's stews or soups, just cook them longer. If you're working with baking, there are a few things.
Yeah, cooking them longer is not always a good idea,
and that's
actually.
Not, yeah. Well, what yeah. do you do in your
Well, I mean, I think the other changes that we've done, but, I mean, a lot of recipes from other books when they say, you know, they do the simple thing, you know, cut the baking soda, lower your temperature, cook it longer. I mean, there is no general formula. This is what we discovered.
Oh, yes.
We thought we would find the universal formula, but we discovered there wasn't one, and that different types of cakes have general changes that we could rely on. But there's nothing across the boards. And the only way to work this stuff out is with extensive testing.
Right.
So in our book, we have every single ingredient for every single recipe is figured out so that you have a grid. You don't have any guesswork, no hit and miss. if you use pie in the sky, you can bake anything following our recipe. Then you can look at that type of recipe and perhaps apply
right,
it to
like
one of your own.
Suppose it's like a sponge cake, which is a particular type of cake. If you have your own sponge cake, you can use the book as a guide and then alter your recipe similarly and have probably pretty good results. I still recommend doing it a few times to get it perfect. But you can use it as a guide for your recipes as well.
So, okay, so there's not a unified theory for this.
There are some general guidelines, that's about all.
What are some of the general guidelines? In other words, let's say you're here at, 7,000 feet?
Yes, about 7.
So what do we do differently? Let's say I want to make a nice chocolate cake.
In general, the first thing you would do probably would be add a little liquid, usually in the form of one more egg. You'd add a little more flour, and usually you would add a little extra flavor. That's one thing that's not documented scientifically, but I noticed the higher I went, things didn't have quite the punch, quite the same great taste. So I usually add a little extract or maybe a little bit more salt.
A little salt makes a big difference,
salt
too.
Makes a huge, yeah. Salt also makes things sweeter. Nobody knows that, but that's one of the interesting chemistry things. Salt enhances sweetness.
If you've got sugar, it brings out the
flavor
of sugar.
Or any kind of sweetness, yeah.
It chocolate. Also makes things anythinger. And if you make salad dressing, if I salt the garlic before I put it in the salad dressing, it's almost insufferably garlicky.
Yeah, it adds a little punch to things. But also, so generally you add a little liquid, you add a little flour and a flavor. You generally will cut your sugar. Again, because I said before, sugar weakens the strength of your flour. The less sugar, so I usually cut back maybe a quarter of a cup or at least a couple tablespoons of sugar. Sometimes, especially in Breckenridge, 10,000 feet and up, you need to cut the fat too, a little bit of the whatever fat that there is. The baking times are very important. And typically...
And position in the oven.
And the position in the oven, because the heat usually comes from the bottom. And by the way, we need to talk about convection ovens, because
yes.
Convection fan blows the heat around. It means things are going to cook more quickly, and especially with baking, they're going to brown and get crisp on the outside faster.
Yes.
If you have a convection fan, please turn it off when you bake.
Recipes were tested in a non-convection oven, which used to be the standard for American homes. Now a lot of people have convection ovens and don't really know what to do with them.
It's probably half of them don't even know where the thing is on or off.
Yeah.
Well, you can hear it. If there's a fan blowing,
yeah.
Or if you have very thick insulation in your oven, it means it has convection.
Yeah.
Turn the sucker off. If you can't turn it off, then you want to lower your temperature about 25 degrees and watch carefully, because they're going to brown more quickly. It's great for meats, for instance, but it is not good for... I used a convection oven once, and I was making little meringue kiss cookies, and I piped on a baking tray covered with parchment paper, and I baked all these... I piped all these beautiful little kisses, put it in, and the fan blew the entire tray, the entire paper off the tray, and stuck it to the top of the oven.
Oh, my goodness.
Where they all proceeded to burn and blacken, and smoke came out of the oven, and it was wonderful.
That was a
good
day.
Not a wonderful idea.
No.
Bad
idea. Confection, not convection.
There you go. For confection, turn off convection.
There you go. Susan, talk about egg whites.
Egg whites. Well, back to your sponge cake.
Right.
One of the tricks is always above... Let's say above 3,000 or 4,000 feet. When you whip egg whites for anything, from a meringue for a sponge cake, typically at sea level you're told to whip to stiff until they form stiff peaks, and that's kind of what we all have in our heads. The higher you go, the droopier should be the peak. So don't beat them stiff.
Why is that?
Because if you beat them stiff, each little egg, you have to visualize that the egg whites are made up of little balloon-like bubbles of air surrounded by the egg white. The albumin, the liquid. And when you beat them stiff, that means every little bubble of air is as expanded as it can be. So when you put it in the oven and heat makes things expand, those little bubbles are just going to burst and your egg whites are going to collapse. If you beat things till stiff and you bake them, your souffle or your cake will rise and collapse.
That's
sure.
The hardest thing to get people to do, because
it's
counterintuitive. Every single recipe says beat till stiff.
Yeah, right. But those recipes were developed at sea level.
Yeah.
And only a high altitude
recipe. And
that
simple little fact makes all the difference.
So it's like if you think of a balloon,
think of it
that's
as
inflated
a balloon,
not
sense.
All the way, and then when it goes in the oven, it can inflate a little more.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas if you put it in the oven and it's inflated all the way, it's going to pop.
Exactly. And once you see that in your mind, it makes sense to you. But in our book, I've drawn a picture of every time there's a recipe with egg whites, I've got a little picture of a beater with a droopy peak.
Right.
Egg white on it, so you can remember that you really don't overbeat.
We're talking to Susan Purdy and Stacy Pearl. The book is called Pie in the Sky, Successful Baking at High Altitudes. It's full of recipes for pies, cakes, cookies, breads, and pastries, and is tested, among other places, here in Santa Fe, New Mexico. So it's not just any old place at 7,000 feet. Oh, no. It's, in fact, here with our dryness and our particular vicissitudes.
Yes. And it also works in tiles. I mean,
when
it goes up
when we
above
tested
10.
Here, we tested in the summer
in August.
In El Dorado. It was like 95 degrees in the house. It was so hot. And so you have to know that those aren't typical conditions. So we tested and retested and retested. And it was impossible. And we had, we had a freezer full of test cakes.
That was fun.
We
the
had
test,
so
the
many. And so
the
Susan
tested.
Fed the entire community. Yeah. Anyone who stopped by had a cake testing.
That was a big part of this book, was what to do with all of the...
We made a lot of cakes.
And breads.
Cake
and
testing. It's a tough job.
Terrible job.
But someone's got to do it.
She's very popular with the neighbors.
Yeah. I can
have a lot of
it.
Friends in high places. Yes.
Oh. 428-1393 is the number for the KSFR pledge drive. If you call right now, and only during this hour, we only extend, when we talk to authors on the air, we extend until the end of the hour, or actually until the end of the news, the BBC and local news at a few minutes after the hour, the offer to get the book. Once the program and the news are over, you can't get a copy of the book. I mean, you can order one, but you can't get it through this show. So give a call now and get a copy of this book. Support KSFR. Even if you don't, you might get one of the other wonderful KSFR thank you gifts. We have an absolutely indispensable travel mug, among other things. We've got KSFR clothing of various kinds. You can ask the people sitting at the phone who are waiting for your call, 428-1393. You don't have to have your name announced on the air, by the way. So we like to thank the people who have donated, but if you don't want to be thanked publicly, then it is an anonymous gift, and that is fine, too. 505-428-1393, 505-428-1393, or 866-907-5737, that's 866-907-KSFR. You published this book 4 years ago, and since then, you've gotten a lot of mail.
I do. I have a website, www.highaltitudebaking.com, with a lot of information, but also a way to reach me and ask questions. So I get mail almost every day from every elevation. It's really astonishing. And I think, as you say, the GPS is helping. People are suddenly, oh my gosh, I may be at high altitude. What do I do?
Do you always know the answers to their questions?
Never. I mean, no, that's not true. Often I don't. Sometimes I call Stacy. I have a lot of friends who serve as reference. When I know the answer, I of course refer them to purchasing the book, but which can be bought from my website or from Amazon or your local bookstore. But I also have the experts in different fields. Funny enough, I didn't cover the subject of candy making in the book because, as we found out, crystallization of sugar is another very difficult subject. And if I do another volume, which we were speaking of, I would work on that. It's different because of humidity and because of elevation. So I have a friend in Utah who's a specialist in candy making, and I will refer questions to her.
Didn't you get a letter from somebody in Antarctica once?
Oh, yes. This is an interesting story.
Cooking in the South Pole, ladies and gentlemen.
Here it comes. Well, I had a question from the chef in the kitchen of the U.S. Scientific Station in Antarctica saying he was at 9,200 feet. Who knew?
And what?
There are 250 U.S. scientists who go, and they're not for very long tours, because who can stand it? It's them, the penguins, the ice, and this kitchen, and a bar, as you said.
Yeah, there's one or two bars in Antarctica, I've heard, and it sort of divides into the people who like to go to more of a pub-style beer bar or more of a fern-style wine bar.
But they don't have a lot to amuse themselves besides really yummy food, so they... So this fellow who called me, who sent the email, was very amusing. He said, I have someone who can't live without cream puffs, could you imagine? And also they have to have caramel sauce on them. Well, the cream puffs I could handle. We have a recipe in the book for cream puffs at 9,200 feet, and that worked perfectly. But then he said, I am having trouble with my caramel. So I was in touch with Shirley Corrier, who has a new book out. She's an Atlanta food scientist with a new book called Bakewise.
Oh, she's fabulous.
And I called Shirley and I said, what am I going to do? And I sent her the recipe and she figured out how to handle the caramelization. And so I sent him that recipe and he was thrilled. And then he said, now, to thank you, I have a story that's going to really make you smile. He said, before he went and accepted this job, because he was from New York, right? Had to think a long time before he was going to go to the ice floes. He said, someone said, be sure to get Pie in the Sky by Susan Purdy before you get up there, because it'll work and you'll be in terrible trouble if you don't. He said, I got it. I carried it up here, and it was already here. I found it in the kitchen because the last chef and baker had brought it. So I'm famous among the penguins.
Nice.
It's a nice story. It makes me feel like it's working, this book. It makes a difference.
Susan Purdy is with us, author of the book Pie in the Sky, Successful Baking at High Altitudes. We're going to take a little break right now to hear from our beloved underwriters, and we're going to also say some thank yous to people who have pledged so far this morning. Stay tuned to KSFR. We'll be back in just a moment.
And
yes, and we're back now.
We're back, Mary Charlotte.
Marilyn LeBlanc joins us from the control room.
And we have several people to thank. First of all, the Santa Fe Art Institute has supported us today in honor of you, Mary Charlotte, and Stacy Pearl, both of you.
Thank you.
And I suppose, Susan, you're included too. And then John Ressler says Radio Cafe rocks. Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
And Karen Ford, thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Betty Booth will pledge anything to keep you on the air, Mary Charlotte. So
you know, anything is a big category. It's a category I like. Anything. Okay, that's fantastic.
And even if the cake drops, I'll still support KSFR.
Aw, that's so sweet. But the cake won't drop. Go ahead.
And the phone keeps ringing, so we'll hear some more in a little while.
Okay, we love to hear that mellifluous sound. Mm-hmm. It's almost like eating a nice cake with buttercream frosting.
Yep.
Now, frosting's not so bad at high altitude.
No. It's really not. Frosting is not a problem. Did you find it ever a problem?
No. It's just things that rise.
Well, wait. There is one frosting. The only frosting that's really trouble is what's called Rocky Mountain frosting or boiled icing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very interesting because some people call it 7-minute icing. And it is not 7-minute
icing.
Here you call
it 20-minute icing.
It's 20-minute. And Breckenridge, it's 25-minute icing. And in fact, it was one of my funniest stories because I thought, well, at least by the time I get the cake to rise, I'm going to ice this sucker with some gorgeous thing. And I could not make boiled icing. Traditionally, you beat your egg whites and sugar over simmering water, and it just makes this luscious, peaky, wonderful, white, satiny icing. Didn't happen. I beat it and beat it and beat it. And finally, I gave up, and I went around and asked in bake shops in Breckenridge area. So we're talking 10 to 11,000 feet. And they just laughed at me. They said, what are you doing? You think you can do this? First of all, you can't bake, they told me. Second, you're never going to make this.
You can't bake it.
Period.
They
thought I was foolish to even be trying
to. Didn't you go into a shop with gorgeous muffins?
That was funny in Breckenridge. I always start my testing with muffins because I think even I should be able to bake muffins no matter what the element. No. My muffins were all flat as the table. I couldn't make a beautiful muffin. And for a week, I wept over this. I called Shirley Courier. I called Stacy. What can I do scientifically? I went into Starbucks, among other bakery shops. And they just laughed, as usual, and they said, come on, we don't even try to bake them here. We truck them up from Denver.
Denver.
That's why they look. So Denver's 5,000 feet.
Denver, yeah. Denver is wimply low compared to Santa
Fe. It is Santa Fe. I mean, we can make nice muffins here.
Oh, yes.
No problem. But back to the boiled icing, it turned out that what you had to do was really cook it like you would for making a meringue on top of a meringue pie. You can't just simply whip up your egg whites and sugar. You have to cook your egg whites in your sugar over boiling water for about 20 or 25 minutes until it is so stiff that you could put it on top of your hat and walk around and it's going to be beautiful. It has a life of its own. It is basically cooked sugar. Then you can pile it on top of anything. Mm-hmm. But it's not like our old favorite boiled icing. At 10,000 feet, all bets are off for that. That was the only icing that gave me trouble.
What was the nature, Susan Purdy and Stacy Pearl, of your contact with scientists? Are there people, I mean, presumably at national laboratories they're not testing muffins, but there are people who really are taking a laboratory scientific method approach we to are. It within the confines of science?
We are, and definitely Shirley does.
Shirley refers to me, because Shirley hasn't traveled to the many altitudes I have.
But she deals with science in
she
terms of other aspects of cooking.
Exactly. Yeah. Shirley Courier is a food scientist, a chemist of food, like Harold McGee's books are, but they do it at sea level. And when Shirley, who lives in Atlanta, so she goes into the North Carolina, into the Blue Ridge a lot, she will use my book as a reference, and in her new book, she refers to Pie in the Sky. What we do have, and you're quite right, there is a laboratory. The University of Colorado in Fort Collins has a lab, which they can change the pressure in every, they can bring the pressure of their kitchen to every elevation, but they don't deal with the humidity. So they can make something 7,000 or 10,000 feet, theoretically. So those are the geniuses, if you'll forgive me, that put out the original
little
bookmark
cheat
that we all sell.
Yes.
It's a 7-point bookmark, which says do this, do that, and the other at every elevation, which is where I started, which is why I wrote this book. Because
when I first came to Santa Fe, that's what everyone told me to do.
Yeah, I have it framed on my wall, because basically it works at 5,000 feet, everything works. And beyond that, above and below, those tips don't really work. There is one more tip that we started to talk about, temperature. When you have a pan full of gooey, goppy cake batter and you try to alter your temperature, theoretically one of those tips is to cook it longer and raise the temperature. And when you do, you get a crusty top beneath which you find the oatmeal.
This is
still
a big
there.
Problem.
Big problem. Because most people say, oh, just cook it longer like you would your beans or your pasta. And then you get a nice crusty top, but your batter underneath is still soupy. So sometimes you don't raise the temperature, as you said, Stacy, and you don't even necessarily cook it longer. You may lower the temperature or just cook it longer at a lower temperature.
And it's interesting. If you look at the books, all the recipes are written in a grid format. So if someone is really interested in the theory of how it works, you could see how the changes go. And you could see how when you get to, say, 7,000, Susan might subtract 2 tablespoons of sugar, and maybe at 9,000, there's no sugar at all. I mean, it kind of gets it makes sense, and then once you get really high, you look at it and you go, that doesn't make any sense. Remember what you made us do is retest, because once you did all the altitudes,
right.
You said, this can't be right. We better test everything over again.
That was because so many people who are computer literate said, oh, this is a simple. Why are you doing all this work? And for heaven's sake, why are you traveling? Why don't we just figure it out, and then we'll make a program, a software that will just geometrically figure out that every so many thousand feet up, because every thousand feet up you go, water boils 2 degrees cooler.
Right.
That's science. So once they, all these techies thought, well, we can just make a program. But what Stacy and I did was try and find the very best recipe at every elevation, and for it to really match the criteria of good texture and good taste and things you might expect to find at a sea level recipe, then it doesn't make a perfect geometric progression.
And that's an interesting point, because we asked a lot of local people, do you change your recipes? And they all said no. No. And I was like, really? You never change your recipes? And then we looked at their cakes, and they're all slumped in the middle, and they've always looked like that, and they figured that's the way they're supposed to be.
That's what a cake is.
And then we'd
is.
Say to Susan would say, you know, it's not supposed to be like that. And I'm like, it's always like that.
My mom made it that way.
Yeah, it's always looked like that.
We're talking to Stacy Pearl and Susan Purdy. The book is called Pie in the Sky. And once again, we've got a few copies left. If you call 505-428-1393, 505-428-1393, or from out of area, 866-907-KSFR. That's 866-907-5737. And, hey, Mary Lynn, are the phones ringing?
The phones have been ringing, and some of them anonymous. And we have Deborah Weinberg.
Thank you, Deborah.
Who's support? You know, she's doing this in honor of you, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you.
You, for our locally produced shows, you, as indicated in the Santa Fe Reporter, are one of the most favorite shows in all of Santa Fe.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Deborah. Thank you, everybody who's calling. Keep those phones ringing off the hook, 505-428-1393. And, you know, it's about high-altitude baking. It's about politics. It's about mountains and rivers. It's about health and healthcare. It's about all the different things we talk about on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Here in the Santa Fe Baking Company, it's about coffee. It's about soy chai. It's about supporting public radio. The way you do it is twice a year, you just call and make a little pledge within your means. We always try to stress that. it's not about how much you pledge. It's about the fact that you call and let your call and your pledge be counted at Public Radio 505-428-1393. The more you call, the less I have to make breaks and ask you to call. So just give a call right now, 428-1393. 505-428-1393 or 866-907-5737, 866-907-KSFR. So let's say I am making a cake. I'm using the recipe that was tested at sea level. It slumps in the middle, and I eat it. Does it taste different, or
yes.
Is it just... Okay, what's the difference?
Well, it's going to be heavier. It could be sticky. Because I think baking is a lot about texture, and that's one of the things we work on the most, is getting the crumb, the texture of the cake. And if it's not baked correctly, what you're going to end up is with something dense and something rather, you know, it could be that the sugar is all still crystallized in the cake because the liquid has evaporated out, so you have a bad textured cake. And sometimes they're too sweet, aren't they?
They can be too sweet because you don't have the proper proportion of your ingredients after it's baked. So, yes, reformulating the proportion of every ingredient is an important part of the redoing of the cake. And you may not notice that because we find, in general, people are used to very sweet desserts anyway. That's kind of an American thing. But I try in all of my recipes first, before the altituding. And altituding is a verb we've created, by the way. You altitude a recipe, and or else you'll get this dense, sugary thing. So if you don't altitude it, I first take out some of the sugar, and then we start reformulating.
Yeah, some of the changes are sort of counterintuitive. Like, you think, well, I better put in more rising agent. But the reality is you need to lessen your rising agent.
That's right. You think it would rise so much more because the air is helping you. Mm-hmm. We almost always cut back our leavening agent, whether it's baking soda and baking powder or both. If both
Which,
are in
by
your
the
cake,
way, are not interchangeable.
They're not interchangeable. Baking powder has twice the leavening value of baking soda. So you want to alter them into
the correct
proportion.
You know, I get people who say to me that they bought the book, and I said, well, great, how did it work for you? They're like, well, it just didn't work. And I was like, well, did you follow the recipe? Well, yeah, sort of. You know, and like one of the things Susan's very specific about is pan size. And so they'd be like, well, I didn't have the right pan, so I got one much bigger. And then it came out really small and flat, and it kind of burnt on the bottom. And one of the things about this book is it's very, very detail-oriented. And the recipes are a bit long, but I always tell people, if you actually follow them, every detail, read from the beginning to the end, and then try making it, I guarantee your success.
That's true.
Now, there are some ingredients that you don't use at all at sea level, like buttermilk.
Oh, that's magic. You're absolutely right.
What's
I'm
up
so
with
glad
buttermilk?
You mentioned.
That's
buttermilk
our
is
best
our magic
ingredient.
Bullet. Buttermilk is the magic ingredient, and it's very, not only is it delicious and, by the way, healthy for you and has less fat than other products, dairy products.
Despite that it's called buttermilk.
Yes.
Yeah, because it comes from, it's leftover from the process of making butter. But the wonderful thing about it is it's acidic. And one of the discoveries, as Stacy said, there's no one suit fits all, one solution for everything. But if you will always use buttermilk as a replacement for other liquids in your baking, the high acidity helps things set more quickly in the heat of the oven. Because of the lower temperature water boils, things, this big goopy batter has a tendency just never to come together. But the more acidity in it, the quicker it will set. And that is a great advantage.
So when we had a recipe, and Susan often will give a recipe, and you have sour cream, yogurt, buttermilk, at this altitude, buttermilk is always your choice.
Yeah, always your choice.
And also, you know, people are a little reluctant to buy buttermilk sometimes because nobody drinks that anymore. But, you know, there's a powdered buttermilk you can buy.
Maybe by Seiko.
That works perfectly in baking, so you just mix it up as you need it, which is really great.
And you mix it with your dry ingredients, and then you add water with your liquid, and it comes in a little canister in every supermarket.
Yep, it's all over
town. Sold on the baking aisle. Very easy.
There you have it. Powdered buttermilk, ladies and gentlemen. So I love it. There's an X and a Y axis. So along the X axis, you've got sea level, 3,000 feet, 5,000, 7,000, and 10,000. And then along the vertical axis, you've got all sorts of things. You've got the oven rack position. You've got the temperature. You've got all the different ingredients. And... You put them together following the recipe.
All you have to do is follow the column where you live, Just look at that one straight 7,000-foot column, and you'll find everything you need. However, if you're at 7,600 feet or 7,900 feet, each of those vertical columns per altitude will work about 1,000 feet to either side. So there's an overlap. And if you find that it's not quite perfect, you look at the next highest elevation, and you can make a slight adjustment. But basically, every column, 7,000, will work at 6 and at 8.
When you did this testing for high-altitude baking, did you have any models that you were following, or were you just really starting from scratch?
Totally in the nightmare.
We were totally in the dark.
I really thought I was going to lose my mind. To be honest with you, the fact that I'm reasonably sane now is quite a surprise to me, among other people. I had my little bookmark with my little pointers from the lab at Fort Collins. And what I found was at 5,000 feet, I wasn't too bad. Mm-hmm. And the higher I went, the nuttier I became, literally. You know, jumping off the mountain or going back to the kitchen was a daily option. Mm-hmm. You don't learn too much because at each elevation, all bets are off and you have to kind of start over.
Yeah, it's like starting from scratch. It's like writing 5 different cookbooks in a certain sense and putting them all together.
That's why that muffin story is so funny.
Right.
Because
and
I worked muffins were fine till I got to 10,000 feet,
right.
Then I couldn't do it.
And it's also why, you know, and Susan traveled all over the country doing this and had, like, I was the 7,000-foot tester, and she had testers at every altitude. And it was a huge effort to collect all the data. Because one of the things that happened, you were always telling me, is that people who know how to bake, if they tested the recipes, they sometimes made changes automatically and didn't document them because they kind of knew what to do. But when you test a recipe...
That's not science, ladies and gentlemen.
But people tend to do that.
Yeah.
You know, so you had to be sure to get people to test that would really just read the recipe and test it. And then retest and retest and retest. And then when you think you have it all worked out, someone else tests it. And they're like, that doesn't work for me. And then you start again.
And the other thing, here we are in the Santa Fe Baking Company. I went to bake shops everywhere I was. And they don't want to tell you their secrets because, lo and behold, they've figured it out. And they want the customers to come to them.
Right.
So they were not particularly interested in helping me. Then I would go to wedding cake bakers.
Oh, yes.
In every
city. I remember that.
And you have a couple of sensational ones here, which we won't mention by name.
And they didn't want to tell Susan anything.
No. And they had their market. But even in Breckenridge, it was especially funny because, as we were saying, that's 10,000, very difficult to make successful baking. So one girl made only cupcakes, which, of course, sank in the middle, but she put a fresh flower into each little hole.
Right. You never know.
So you'd have a collection of, you know, you had 2,000 people or 2,500 people coming. That's how many cupcakes you got stacked in tiers.
Mm-hmm.
Others made cheesecakes. Cheesecakes are interesting because they're a custard. And if you do bake them, as we said, in the middle of the oven, very slowly, but for about a week, it'll set. Eventually, that will set, and you get a cake.
You bake them in the oven for about a week?
Yeah. Well, not quite. But, I mean, you bake them a long time.
Hour like and a half.
You bake them much longer than you'd expect at sea level, and you can get a custard to set.
Yeah. But even that, I mean, those are an interesting item because of the bain-marie, which is the water bath that you cook these things in. Yeah. So usually you just go to the tap and get hot water and put it in a pan. But Susan taught me that if you do that, the water here cools off by the time it's in the oven so that you're actually inhibiting your baking. So what we do is take the pan, put hot water in it, put it in the oven ahead of time so it's super hot, and then carefully put the cheesecake into the pan so you're not going backwards, you're going forwards.
So you have hot water helping the hot cake get hotter.
Yes.
Because otherwise it's all against you. The science here, the actual atmosphere conditions are working against you.
It's interesting, too, with cooking as a science, and it's obviously an art, and the scientific things are tricky, is that it really is not, as you say, something that you can just plug into a computer program.
It doesn't work. My husband worked in computer business, and he thought I was nuts, and none of his ideas, I mean, it just doesn't work. It is a trial by error.
Oh, yes.
Test and test story.
And, for example, with the buttermilk, there's none at sea level, then there's 3/4 of a cup at 3,000 feet. It goes up, and then at 10,000 feet, it goes down a little bit.
It goes down because 10,000 is weird. That's the only explanation I can give you.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll see, I don't know what recipe you're looking at there, but other things change too.
Porterfield pumpkin bundt with snow white glaze.
Ah, that's a Breckenridge recipe.
That's a delicious cake.
I make
that all the time.
That works very well, and that's a cake that's very high. It's risen. It's got a wonderful moist crumb to it. But at 10,000 feet, yes, it bakes a different time, and other ingredients are changed as well, including a lot more seasoning, more spices.
We're talking to Susan Purdy and Stacy Pearl. 428-1393 is the pledge line number if you have not yet pledged to KSFR. This is the time to do it. during the Santa Fe Radio Cafe when you can get yourself a copy of this book or any other gifts, but most of all, just pledging, because this is listener-supported radio. It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do right now. So give us a call, 505-428-1393, and tell us if you like this show, and tell us if you are interested in cooking. You know, there are probably some people who really don't cook at all, or they just use a cake mix. And cake mixes are something that you probably also have to adjust.
And I was told when I began this project not to bother because the cake mix people had figured it out. Interestingly, it doesn't work above 6,000 feet. Yes, cake mixes.
Because they have instructions on the back of the boxes.
Most of them do. And they are, in fact, there's even a new line of gluten-free cake mixes. But they have only figured it out, I think, because, again, they use the Fort Collins scientific. Basically, they use things that figured for 5,000 to 6,000 feet. They do not work here at Santa Fe, and they certainly don't work in Taos or above Santa Fe. You do need, I have a whole chapter on how to adjust your cake mix proportions to make them work above 6,000 feet, because the box mixes are not successful.
So you have gotten a lot of phone calls, and you have really taken this in the last 4 years since the book was published to another level, and you're thinking about putting out either a new edition, revised and expanded, whatever. We are waiting with bated breath. But one of the things that people have been asking for is precisely that, gluten-free recipes.
And I have one here that's asking, it's a male, someone who sent me a letter to the website, highaltitudebaking.com. She's at 8,600 feet. Do you have any recipes for egg-free cakes? Yes, I don't.
Because
in
she's
the book,
a vegan or something.
Yeah, and I do. We have a crazy chocolate cake, which does have, it's an excellent moist cake, and it's made with oil, no butter. It's dairy-free, and it has no eggs. So there are, we're thinking of adding quite a few. And funny enough, I had a call last night from a girl who's writing for Edible Aspen, saying she's doing an article on breads. Could she interview me this afternoon?
Wonderful.
Nice.
So, and Martha Stewart Living in July, which I have here, has a question about high altitude baking, and they use Pie in the Sky as their
because
reference.
It really, I mean, there is like one or two other high altitude books, but they're not reliable. And I think that's what separates the boys from the men, frankly.
Well, the others all use those bookmarks. I mean, nobody else has actually gone and lived at 3, 5, 7 and 10,000. You have to be a kind of crazy to do that. And once they see how much work it took, as this book shows, then who wants to do that?
You just can't make assumptions.
Now, what is the outer limit? Is there an altitude on planet Earth above which you just can't bake?
Well, for me, that's probably Tibet, because I don't really want to use yak butter.
Ah.
That's my outer limit. I don't think, I mean, they make flatbreads in Tibet and the Himalayas at any altitude, you know, but they know
flatbread.
How to, but they're flatbreads. Honestly, Mary Charlotte, I think I've reached my limit at probably 10,000 or 11,000 feet. I don't know. I'm sure. In Ecuador, I've had letters from the Andes and from Ecuador asking about things at 13 and 14,000, and until I go there, I can't give you an answer.
Have people in the correspondence that you've received in the last few years, this is a question for both of you actually, become more health conscious, worried about diabetes and sugar intake and all of these other things?
And they have discovered, and I'm not sure of the reason, perhaps you know, so many more people are finding their celiacs sensitive, that they can't eat wheat in various forms.
We get so many requests for gluten-free recipes, gluten-free dinners, nut-free, dairy-free. Mm-hmm. You know, part of it is sort of Santa Fe. Santa Fe's kind of in tune to that whole thing. But I think in general, people are becoming more conscious that the things they eat affect their health. It's not random, I mean, you know, and so they can adjust that. And if they get in tune with what they're eating, they can feel better. And all of a sudden, that's all right to do.
Right, whereas for a while...
They were just freaks, you know?
It was looked down on.
And people are loath to make substitutions on their own. But your question is very well put. And given the recipes that we actually have, someone may want to try it with spelt flour, but they won't do it. They call me and ask... Can I make this with spelt flour, or could I substitute
X, Y, or Z? Yes, because once you change one ingredient, everything changes.
Yeah.
So to get recipes, these alternative recipes we're starting to think about, is going to require a huge amount of testing. Start to experiment with some alternative sweeteners, non-gluten flours, things like that. Something we're really interested in doing, because there's so much interest in it, but it's going to be another enormous project.
Because we're changing everything then, including doing those things at elevation.
Yes.
But since you are the... United States leading authority on high altitude baking. You better do it because no one else is going to.
I better get up there in the sky with my new books.
But it's still, I mean, the way I think about healthy eating is you just don't eat pies and cakes because they're not good for you. But maybe that's not true.
Well, I believe you should have whatever you want a little bit in moderation. But there's another good point about this book. Even if you're not a baker, we have worked out the science. And there's a whole chapter in this book simply on the science of altitude. So if you're not baking, you don't like sweets, but you're cooking at altitude.
I was just going to say, just to understand the process, because, you know, my mom moved to this town, and all of a sudden a soft-boiled egg took 15 minutes when she cooked it for 4 in New York.
Right.
And she was baffled. You know, making rice, it took me a whole year after I moved here to figure out how to cook rice, because the water would evaporate out and the rice would still be hard. So it's kind of a good piece of information to understand what's going on, because it really does affect all your cooking. But it's easier to compensate when you're cooking as opposed to baking. You just cook it longer.
Or you add more water.
Or add water as
it boils out.
So with rice, we're getting off baking for a second, but what do you do with rice? You just start with more water?
The way I solved it is I use a super thick cast iron pan with a good fitting lid, because it holds the heat in really well. And then I put a little bit more water, and then I cook it at a super low temperature, and the water cannot escape. And then it works just perfectly.
We're talking to Susan Purdy and Stacy Pearl. Their book is Pie in the Sky by Susan Purdy, but with help, especially at 7,000 feet, by Stacy Pearl. Successful baking at high altitudes. I think there's a couple of copies left if you call 505-428-1393. 505-428-1393. You can make a pledge. And not only pick up the book if you want the book, but also just simply have the satisfaction of listening to this program, listening to public radio, KSFR, having local radio in your life, which, as we know, is a very, very important thing. Without local radio, communities don't know what's going on around them in many ways, especially, I mean, luckily we still have good newspapers in this city, but that is a question that's going on in a lot of places. Of even the role of newspapers, but radio is the way in which we all come together. Stacy Pearl is the host of Mouth of Wonder, in which you talk about this and many issues. It's on Saturday mornings from 10:30 to 11. You talk about not only high altitude cooking and baking, but you talk about everything having to do with cooking.
Yes, I do. I do a restaurant review. I do a seasonal recipe of the week. I do a refreshing beverage of the week, and I always do a high altitude baking section. I do a cookbook review. Many people say I do much too much in 28 minutes and I talk way too fast, but I do the best I can. But this is a great food town, and I get tons of mail. I get tons of questions, and I have a website, which is mouthofwonder.com, where I have all the recipes archived. And it's great. I mean, the show is kind of popular here in town, and it's kind of fun. And I am really honored to be on KSFR. I've never done radio before. I sort of fell into it through Susan, was the one who actually hooked me up with Mickey Brown while we were on our way to do your show one day, and I started talking to him. And I just think it's a really fantastic station. I'm really happy to be associated with, and we enjoy your show all the time. And I think people need to call and support us because we really need to hear from everyone.
428-1393 is the number, 505-428-1393, or from out of area, 866-907-5737. That's 866-907-KSFR. Susan Purdy, are you also a public radio listener?
Oh, absolutely. Exclusively public radio listener. And when I'm here, my radio is turned to KSFR.
And
I've been listening to the Fun Drive all morning, even just waiting to get here.
Excellent. So, once again, 428-1393. We're going to be doing this until we raise the money we need to go for another 6 months. We're pretty much a hand-to-mouth station.
Though? I know.
Hand-to-mouth of wonder.
Hand with cake in it. To mouth eating cake station.
Right. And it's a funny thing. People feel that, oh, they can't, you know, they're watching their pennies, the economy is tight or whatever. But when it really comes to it, think about what it is that you value in your life, and if you value public radio, and if you're a listener to public radio, go ahead and make that phone call right now, 505-428-1393, 505-428-1393.
And Mary Charlotte,
yes.
I have four people who have to thank here on the air.
Yay.
Jill Epstein.
Thank you.
Andrea Sassa.
Yay.
Cheryl Howell.
Wonderful.
And Reese Peterson says, Mary Charlotte takes the cake.
I love it.
Oh, that's
That's she does.
Somebody had to make the pie.
Somebody had to.
And the pie in the sky, Mary yes. Charlotte. We give that to you as well.
Yes.
Pie in the Sky is the book. Thank you all so much for listening. And it's just about time to go. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. I'm Mary Charlotte. We are streaming on the web at ksfr.org. Some of you are probably listening that way. You can pledge online at ksfr.org, too. I can be reached by email at radiocafe@ksfr.org. We are podcasting, which means that I have a website, and the website is called santafe.radiocafe.org. You can listen to the show there anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's fabulous .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, which means you just go into your iTunes store and insert Santa Fe Radio Cafe. It's a free subscription. That means it lands in your iTunes inbox in your little podcast. And what else? Well, stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, the Colors of Jazz. Once again, 428-1393 is the number, 428-1393. If you call that and make a pledge, we will all be extremely grateful. We thank the people who have pledged so far. We ask the rest of you to give now, give generously, and the fun drive will be over soon enough. Stacy Pearl, Susan Purdy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Hasta la vista. And thanks to all the great folks in the control room, in the pledge room, and at KSFR. And we'll see you tomorrow. Ciao.